Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Gavin Newsom has become one of the loudest and spirited voices for the Democratic Party, and on a national stage has seared his ideological and political differences with Republican governors. But although Newsom makes his fair share of public appearances here at home, a one-on-one sit-down about issues facing Californians is difficult to come by. Well, a window of opportunity opened up last night. At the California Museum in Sacramento, Governor Newsom took part in a live, candid interview about all things politics in the Golden State. The conversation was hosted by Politico's California Bureau Chief Chris Catalago, who has long covered the state capitol. And hopefully, after a good night's sleep, Chris joins us with some of the best moments that bubbled up to the top. Chris, thanks for making the trip.
Of course. Thank you.
Nice to see you in person. So this sit down was months in the making. What went into making this happen and in front of a live audience, no less?
Yeah, this was great for us. Getting the governor to talk about both state issues and national issues. We're in the midst of a big expansion in the state. Obviously, Politico is really built out in Washington, D.C., and has had a presence here with Playbook for several years, I think back to 2015, with Carla Marinucci sort of pioneering that. But now we have a number of policy beats from education to healthcare, a new climate newsletter. And so this was really kind of a venue to get into a lot of those policies. As you say, it's the governor's kind of can be a challenge on some of these issues. Some of these bills are still pending. You know, he may not say definitively if he's going to veto them or sign them. He may not say definitively on the insurance issue that you mentioned, whether they'll do like a special session or an executive order. But you do get like a pretty good sense from him about what they're going to take action on, how he's kind of leaning on one bill or another. And I think it was helpful for folks on the policy front. And then on the politics, he's done the DeSantis thing. I think we'll increasingly see him as a kind of attack dog for Biden and Democrats in the coming months and even couple years.
Given that you have a long perspective of not only California politics, you worked at the Capitol Bureau with the Sacramento Bee, you just came from D.C. covering national politics and the Biden administration. What stands out to you about Governor Newsom over the years?
Yeah, I mean, lately it's been really interesting because he does feel very much like he's in a different phase of his governorship. Like, he survived this recall. He was very easily elected. He doesn't stand for reelection in California again in this role. And so maybe he's freer on some of these issues. One thing that stood out to me from last night was the fact that the state is going to get involved and file an amicus brief in these cases having to do with judges basically preventing city officials, mayors, from sweeping these homeless encampments. Obviously, that goes back to COVID and even before that. Some of these things, I think he's sort of reveling in this idea of like challenging, Democratic dogma on some of these issues. I know London Breed is on that side as well in San Francisco, but I think he feels like, I mean, he said this to us in prior interviews, like he feels like people are really fed up on some of these issues. They've gone on for too long. And it also sort of coincides with where he might want to go in national politics. I mean, California can be pretty out there in terms of its progressivism. And sometimes some of these issues are kind of explained in terms of looking out for humanity and people who I'm not questioning sort of where they're coming at it from, but they do come at it from a place that is probably far further left than the rest of the country. And when you're looking at this from a national perspective, I do think he sort of wants to see himself as moving a little bit to the middle on some of these things.
The conversation last night, I mean, it was scheduled to span 30 minutes, but it went longer. Yeah, the governor didn't seem like he was in a rush. And as you and I both know, that can go by in a blink. You know, how did you focus on what topics and issues to prioritize?
Yeah, I mean, I think in these sorts of sit downs, if you're just cutting someone off and they feel like they're not having a chance to, in this case, the governor, talk about the things they want to and sort of go through the list of what the state has done on homelessness. He gave a very sort of long setup about the billions of dollars that have been spent. You know, they're unlikely to go as long as you said he did. So I think there's kind of a give and take, right? We want to get our questions out. We want to sort of press him on things and make sure that he's like as best as we can addressing them. And he wants to sort of talk about all these things the state has done on these issues. This is true of probably every politician where they feel like they've done all these things and people would feel differently if they just knew everything about all of this. Of course, they don't. You know, I mean, the people obviously are not aware of everything the state has done on homelessness. All they do is they look out there and they see the issue and they think it's bad. And so, I think being able to have him explain some of that probably contributed to how long he went. And I think the other big one was climate. He's going to be in New York. And then, of course, China, which mm-hmm. he announced last night to talk about all the things the state has done on the environment and climate. And I think that's something that, you know, we saw with the previous governor is something that they take a lot of pride in, something that politically is still, I mean, Joe Biden has done a lot on climate. You know, you look at polls and it's obviously an increasingly big issue, especially for young people. But, you know, in terms of whether it resonates politically, it's a tough political issue. And the state for a long time, California has led the way on that. And so I think they take a lot of pride in doing that, whether it's Trump or Biden in the White House. Mm.
The governor mentioning the trip to China was new, and you touched upon, I believe, like roughly a dozen topics and issues facing California. Aside from the upcoming trip to China, did he say anything last night that gave you a deeper understanding, anything new for you aside from that trip, or was it more a reinforcement of where he stands on these big issues?
I do think that on the homeless issue and filing, on the on some of these other ones, there were folks who felt like on this issue, a number of school boards have taken up this issue of notifying parents if a child tells them that they're trans. And I think that there was a question. Newsom has talked a lot about these book bans. He was down in Glendale in L.A., L.A. area, talking with parents. He gave this kind of long, pretty nuanced answer about that issue and said it's like it's not all these parents' fault that have gotten very like ginned up over this issue. They're being stirred up over it. But there was also a real kind of defense of folks who want to accommodate these kids who feel like they're being called out. He talked about the suicide rates there and all of that it comes after that. We did hear from people who thought that he was dodging is too strong a word, but that he was not emphasizing that issue, especially over the last few weeks, couple months as these school boards have taken it up.
Yeah, there's a half dozen so far in the state school districts.
Yeah. And I think we've talked to him about this before. I think, you know, it's one thing for him to talk about this happening in Florida or another state where he's sort of at odds with the governor, or maybe even a red state like one that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is governor in. And it's another, I think it for him, it might be takes it even more personal when it's happening in California.
Yeah, a state that is supposed to be, you know, among the most or the most progressive in the nation. You touched upon homelessness and housing, and you led with that in the conversation, and that really wasn't a surprise. But what I found interesting is your first question really focused on this secretive plan by tech investors to build a new California city in Solano County. Why lead with that?
So it's a big story, still really developing, and the fact that he hadn't talked about it yet, I think, was interesting. I think that answer was really interesting to me for a number of reasons. One, he sort of called people out for immediately jumping to this being China. that is buying up this land around the military base, and basically saying it was like xenophobia and maybe kind of getting into this like misinformation topic, you know, disinformation that once this you put this thing out there, it kind of takes on a life of its own. The other one was, you know, this is controversial in part because, and he did say this, basically these folks who have these tech billionaires, investors who have envisioned this, one of the reasons that they're kind of back on their heels right now, and they've been criticized by folks like Garamendi and Thompson and others in the House, is because of the secrecy and the fact that they wanted to kind of, you know, acquire this land and do all this in secret. And, you know, as we know, politicians don't like that. You know, they don't like not knowing. And he told us he didn't know either.
He said he
found out 5 minutes before, and he still has a meeting next week with some of the planners for it. So, you know, on the one hand, he really feels like the state needs a lot more housing. So you might think that there would be some sympathy for that, especially if the community supports it eventually. You know, there'd be a whole campaign. And on the other, it's, you know, environmentally, is this more sprawl? Is this another example of it's a real question about where do you build? What are the resources for it? And then once you get beyond this whole question of the kind of what's going on with these tech investors.
When talking about housing, I mean, you also touched upon insurance companies that are pulling out of California. I mean, the first year of State Farm and Allstate. And the governor has talked about this. We've had conversations about this on Insight as well. Did you get a deeper understanding of perhaps any accountability on the state side? You know, these insurance companies are saying California isn't as friendly of a state. It's difficult to do business in California. Because when I was listening to his responses, I mean, there was a lot of focus on, you know, the same things happening in Florida.
Yeah, I think, you know, California certainly doesn't want to be Florida, where rates have just skyrocketed and it's just been a huge issue. They've had to come back and they had a special session. No matter how you cut this, and I don't want to sort of put, I don't know exactly where the blame lies. We have a obviously elected insurance commissioner. We have folks in the legislature. And then, of course, the governor's office, which is, I don't think had a lead role in these discussions, but it's obviously been part of it, as he said, for months now. I mean, the fact that they did not get a deal done to address this in some way in this end of session, we know that because we passed this marker where you have to have a bill in print for a number of days before. So basically it's done for the session and they're going to come back and do these hearings, is really kind of a failure of all of these folks. And I think the governor knows that. Again, is it the commissioner? Is it the legislature? I think that they really wanted to get something done on this. Next year, there'll be new leadership, dynamics change. And meanwhile, people are still not able to get insured. It really, I think one thing the governor did was stress that this like really is, and I think he said a red, what did he say? Red flag issue or something.
And that it's not unique to us. You know, he said it's America's coming attraction.
Yeah. And that's the climate part of it, right? Mm-hmm. Is that increasingly these areas become difficult to build. But I will say that, you know, that's true. But another piece of this is there are homes in, you know, not in flood zones, not in fire zones, like areas that you would think could far more easily be insured where folks are not able to get policy. So this is affecting people who are, you know, not just building in these areas where or buying homes in these areas where people say, well, is that responsible? Is it not? You know what can happen there. This is happening just in other parts of the state that were deemed safe for many years where they can't get a policy. And, you know, it's really incumbent on these state officials, even if this is a political hot potato. I mean, I think they saw, you know, it's not popular to raise people's rates. I mean, if there's a surcharge there, and I think the legislature recognized that. I think the insurance commissioner recognized that. And so they're going to have to deal with this. And I also just, you know, the public doesn't really care who, I mean, you get elected to do difficult things. That's why you put yourself out there and do this. And so there's a lot of frustration on that issue. There's a lot of frustration from the insurers themselves that this didn't get dealt with.
towards the end of your conversation, you did a rapid fire with the governor. And obviously, Governor Newsom, in recent months, obviously leading up to a presidential election, his name gets brought up a lot on whether he's going to run. He repeatedly says no, and he is a big supporter of President Biden. I mean, you asked him, you know, point blank, will Biden be the nominee? And he said yes. But you also went ahead to the election for 2028, right? And you said, is it time for a woman? And he said, you know, absolutely. I'm curious, do you think he was surprised you didn't directly ask if he was going to run? Because he gets that question, you know, time and time again.
Yeah, it felt like, we've asked it so many times. It felt like we had to get a little bit more creative and ask it in another way. I wonder if maybe he thought it was going to be about him. And on the question of whether it's time for a woman, I mean, it wasn't the world's toughest question, I guess. You know, he did say it is time for a woman, but then he also kind of, I think, ended that answer saying, you know, the most qualified candidate. So a little bit, left himself a little bit of room in that answer for himself in 2028. So we'll see. I mean, these things, we started off talking about how different the whole world looked for him just a couple of years ago. I mean, these things move so quickly, and people are in the limelight, out of the limelight, in favor, out of favor. I mean, there was this recall attempt and we were in the middle of COVID and everything looked terrible. And now he can kind of gallivant around not only the country raising money, but the world with this China trip and things, you know, he's sort of riding high at the moment. A lot of this for all these younger Democrats will really depend on what happens in this 2024 election. I mean, Biden being reelected is a lot different than if, you know, the Republican most likely Trump wins. And that would just like open the floodgates on the Democratic side. I mean, the primary would start the day after that election if Trump wins. There would be nothing holding back any of these folks. There would be no sort of hierarchy within the Democratic Party. Gavin Newsom would be free to do whatever he wanted. And so, you know, as with everything, a lot of this is outside of their control and things can change very fast.
Chris, thanks for making the trip and the conversation.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Chris Catalago is Politico's California bureau chief discussing his sit down with Governor Newsom. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.